Okay, let's get started on Masaba B'Kisnin. This is a significant topic, obviously. Let's take a look first. By the end of the shiur, if we do not know what bracha to recite on, I don't know, mizonos rolls, pizza, hot pretzels, pita chips, matzah, pancakes, then I guess I haven't done my job. So let's see if we can go through the sugya and see what the Rishonim have to say, see how we pass in Shulchan Aruch, see if we could analyze a little bit what the Rishonim say and what the Baalei HaShulchan Aruch teach us in this regard. So just take a quick look at the Gemara Membeis Amud Aleph. Gemara Membeis Amud Aleph Itmar Amar before that. The Gemara tells us Rav Yehuda Ava Asik Le Lebrei, four lines from the top. Rav Yehuda Ava Asik Le Lebrei, Bei Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Aisu Lekamayu Pasa Babakisnin. So there was a Suda, and they brought Pasa Babakisnin. So they, instead of regular bread, Ki Asa Shamina Dekam Varchi Hamotzi. So you heard that he was saying Hamotzi. Amalu, my tzitzi de kashamano. Why do I hear tzitzi? Meaning it sounds like you're saying amotzi. I don't know what the, okay? Meaning tzitzi means like chirping. Like, you're just saying the wrong thing. Stop talking like that. Dilma, amotzi lechem in aretz kam varchisu. You're saying amotzi lechem in aretz. Amalei in. They said, that's exactly right. Yes, we're saying amotzi lechem in aretz. And we have good reason to. Titanya, Ramonam, Rishim Rabbi Yudah, Pasaba Bekisnin, Mevarchin ala amotzi. That the proper bracha on Pasuk B'Kisnin is Hamotzi, and that's exactly what we're doing. Now, at this stage in the Gemara seems to be assuming, before we correct it, that Pasuk B'Kisnin is always Hamotzi. Meaning you have a piece of cake and nothing else, one slice of cake, one ragula, one something, and it's Hamotzi. So just to make sure we're all clear on this, what's the bracha of Mizonos for then? Meaning, how could the Gemara have such a havamina that all pass above because it's hamotzi? Not from the five grains. And mizonos is primarily the five grains. Also rice, but primarily mizonos should be on the five grains. No, chamesh mina dagan. You say mizonos. How do you ever have chamesh mina dagan? That's not hamotzi. So you have daisa. You have something like
barley.
Right, something that's made with the blila raka, meaning what pasa babakisnin has to be first is pas, which means that it has to be a thick dough that's made like a bread-like dough. Then you do something with it that makes it pasa babakisnin. What you do with it to make it pasa babakisnin, that we're about to see is a major machlokas rishonim. But something is done with it to adjust it, to turn it into pasa babakisnin. But it has to start out as a bread-like dough. But if you have pancakes, where it's not a dough, it's a blila raka, it's something that pours. So that would never, there was never a havamina that you're going to wash on eating a pancake. There was never a havamina that you're going to wash on eating a bowl of oatmeal. Right? That was never a havamina. But because, and there is a reason for the bracha of mizonos. The issue is, you have something that seems like bread. So what? It happens to have a sweeter flavor. It happens to have something added to it. It happens to have whatever other characteristics we're about to define as pasah babakisnin. Fine, but why should that change? So at this point, the Gemara says it should really be amotzi. V'amr shmol alach kremona. Amalu enel kremona itmais. No, we heard that a similar saying, except with one added word, which obviously changes everything. So that we don't pask in that way. But didn't you tell us that lachmanios should get hamotzi, and apparently lachmanios are pasa babakisnin, whatever they are? Answers Gemara, no, shiny hasam, de kavasu dasei alayhu. Aval hechi, de kavasu dasei alayhu, lo. So Gemara seems to come to the conclusion that pasa babakisnin can be hamotzi if you're kaveh asuda. But if you're not kaveh asuda on the pasuk babakisnin, then it remains mizonos. So we have this very unusual food. We haven't seen something like this yet, where without adding any additional food, without changing the ingredients, you have a single food where if you're kaveh asuda on it, it's going to be hamotzi. If you're not kaveh asuda on it, it's going to be mizonos. We haven't seen that by other foods, where based on the quantity of it that you eat, or the context within which you eat it, the bracha is going to change.
So this is the raya we said in the set of the Chakir, the Hamotzi is a bracha on a Su'udah.
Good, right? That may say something about the bracha of Hamotzi, that Hamotzi is a bracha that one recites on Su'udah, as opposed to, in fact, I don't know if you've got to it in the Mar Makomos, but at the very end, I quoted from an article I found from Rabbi Jachter, in source number 20, an analysis of the Pata Baba Kislin rule might help us understand this ruling, whatever ruling he's talking about. Rav Meir Lichtenstein told me that his grandfather, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, believes that fundamentally the bracha of Hamotzi is not a bracha on bread, like we said yesterday. Rather, it is a bracha recited upon a meal, a su'udah. According to this insight, one recites mezonos and pasta baba kistin, even if it's formally defined as bread, since one is consuming it as a snack and not as a meal. Meaning, pasta baba kistin is pas, like we said, it's not a pancake. It's pas, it is bread. Why don't you say hamotzi on it all the time? Because it's not a meal. However, if one eats pasta baba kistin as part of a meal, then it follows that one should recite hamotzi on the pasta baba kistin. Similarly, the bracha of mezonos is appropriate only for cake or crackers, since they're snack foods, and not for meat or cheese pies, since they are meal foods. Now, exactly, it doesn't cut that easily, because, you know, when you're dealing with bread, if you eat a tiny amount of bread, you still have to wash, still say hamotzi on a tiny amount of bread. I would prefer to formulate it a little differently, that hamotzi is A, the bracha on bread, and B, the bracha on a meal, meaning it's one or the other. Pasa baba kistin is, which is fundamentally a snack food, would have to become a meal in order to warrant hamotzi. But bread, because the bracha is hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, when you're having actual lechem, pasma because maybe pas, but it's not lechem. When you're having actual lechem, then it's then the bracha is always going to be hamotzi, even if it's not actually a meal, even if you're just having a small amount of it and you're not in fact having a meal. Meaning we don't generally assume like that, right? But that hamotzi is only if you have a shear of bread. Certainly, and nor do we normally assume that even if you do pasul like that, Ravid, that we learned, that we discussed yesterday and a few shiurim ago, do we normally assume that kezayis is a shir kviya suda? Kezayis is way less than a shir kviya suda. Shir kviya suda is a couple of beitzim. So it's so we might have to modify that thought, but certainly the idea that hamotzi can be a bracha on a meal rather than just a bracha on a specific type of food may not be rather than just a bracha on a specific type of food, but maybe in addition to being a bracha on a specific type of food, it's also a bracha that one recites on a meal. So important to point out over here that this is already, the Rishonim already struggled with this issue of why Pasa Baba Kisnin why the bracha would change when you're having it as a meal versus not having it as a meal. Rav Sacks quotes, he quotes the exact wording of the Rashba, so I'll just read it to you from here. But the Rashba points out in Lamed Chesem Beis Dibur Maskel Kevan that Lav Svaruhu, it's unusual, it's not normal that something's bracha is going to change because of its shear. Changing brachos normally is when you have a different food. Or where you change the form of a food. I had a food and then I adjusted it, I added to it, I did. So that could change its bracha. But you can have the same food and just more of it and all of a sudden it gets a new bracha. Kigon, you know, where do you have that a bracha could change? Yeah, when you turn flour into bread, you've changed it. You turn wheat into flour, you've changed it. But just because I'm having more or less of something, hello Ashkechan, this is unprecedented in all of Vilchus Brachos. Upasa Baba Kisnin, Dam Ravuna, Lakaman, Kol Shachem, Kovan Alem Sud, Tzarech Levarech, Kolomer Shem Varech, Van Vamotzi, Vachav Sholosh Brachos. Pasa Baba Kisnin, if you're Kovea Suda, benching, Hamotzi, Vichiloach Lopachs, Mikanein Varech Lufan, Avrak, Barim Nemezonos. And eat a little bit of it and all of a sudden it's a Barim Nemezonos. That the Brachos change with the shear. So says the Rashba, Lohi, Pass above kisten kilom vrachin ale amotzi afilo al chiz kazayis haynu mishum de chashvin ale kimishtana mi mino. That quantity over here changes the min. It changes the inherent character of the food, which is so interesting. Normally we're saying you need a change in the chefza if you're going to change the bracha. Over here we're saying, no, it's not a quality issue, it's a quantity issue, and yet the bracha is changing. Because says the Rashba, when it comes to Pasuk B'Kisdin, when you change the quantity, it's ki'ilu you've changed the quality. Why? V'teidelach, shari pas di almam v'archon la motzi b'kazayis. U'pasav v'kisun lom v'archon la l'barminim zonos. He says, I know that the bracha v'amotzi, you don't need a large amount of food to say amotzi on something. A kazayis of bread, and you're already saying amotzi. That's not a kviya suda. El d'kshe koveil of suda asa'o ki pas di alma. When you're koveya suda, you are declaring, I view this as pas. Meaning it's as if, in your mind, it has changed to pas. Va'afilu lo kava suda alav, elo sha'ochel kidei kvius acherim. Then he adds an additional chiddush, which is machlokes rishonim, that even if you personally were not koveya suda on it, but you're eating the amount that others would be koveya suda on. That too is saying that I am treating this like bread. Gam kenare also so ki pas di alma. Shochel men harbek de svia vavle de kmishlo nishtana mimino. So that is considered as if you have already declared it to be bread. So normally in a chinami, it's only qualitative changes that change the bracha, but over here a quantitative change is like a qualitative change, because when you go through that quantitative change, you are now treating it like bread. Now that additional point that he added, that even if you're not being koveya suda, but a normal person would, that's a major discussion in the poskim, what the rules are exactly. Meaning, let's say, when it comes to eating pizza, so Rav Moshe had this famous psak, although we'll see pizza's a whole different story, there's reasons to say it's hamotzi anyway, but Rav Moshe had this famous psak that no one's koveya suda on one slice or koveya suda on two slices, so two slices hamotzi and one slice is not hamotzi. That's Rav Moshe held. No one else holds that way. But that's what Rav Moshe held. So who gets to define that? You know, there are many teenagers that would not consider anything less than three slices to be a meal. And there are many adults that would consider one slice to be a meal. So what exactly is the definition of kviya suda? I remember when I was in high school, maybe early admissions year in college, I went to some NCSY Yom Iyun. I was not involved in NCSY as a high schooler, but all my friends in MTA who were from New Jersey were very involved in NCSY. Apparently it was a much bigger thing in New Jersey back then than it was in New York. I don't know if it still is, but so they invited me to say, you gotta come to this Yarchi Kala. So I went to this Yarchi Kala, and Rav Willig was talking, and Rav Willig was talking about what bracha one recites on a croissant. And he says it really depends whether you have it as a meal or not. So it was an NCSY event. There were boys there and there were girls there. So the boys were all on one side of the room. The girls were on the other side of the room. And he says, how many of you eat a croissant as a meal? And the entire girl side of the room raised their hands, and not a single hand went up on the boy side of the room. And he says, how many of you do not eat a croissant as a meal? And the exact opposite. The boys side of the room raised their hand, and not the girl. So does that change the halacha? Is there a halacha that girls are like their own subcategory? Meaning the poskim discuss whether older people eat differently than younger people, that people of it, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, that people of your min, so to speak, meaning people like you, it doesn't get so personal to be only you, but it's people like you in your category. Question is, how do you define a category? So gender might be a good way to define a category. Age might be a way to define a category. You have to figure out exactly what's a category and what's just personal. But we're getting sidetracked up here. Let's question. Yeah.
When you say that the quantity creates the qualitative change.
Yeah.
Doesn't that get very complicated? Or just because then what you're having is wherever you draw the line, then like an ounce under that, like I don't know, a tiny bit less than that is like one bracha, and a tiny bit more than that.
Right. So Shulchan Aruch talks about what if you said a mezonos on something, and then you had enough to be koveya suda. You were planning on just having a little bit. Then Shulchan Aruch paskins explicitly about this. So he says you bench. You don't have to go back and wash now, but you bench. So Shulchan Aruch paskins. Which is strange, because remember that Kesef Mishnah about maybe the whole, you don't know how much you can eat, so Shulchan Aruch deals with it. He says, so you adjust on the fly, and that's, okay.
Why do we say that it's only by mezonos that when the quantity changes, then the quality changes?
that it's because there is a this nothing else it becomes a different food when you have a quantity change, meaning when you treat pasa babikisin as pas, it becomes pas. Pas is the meal staple; it's the basis, the foundation of a meal. So if you're treating it like the foundation of a meal, so then it becomes the foundation of a meal. But no other food can become the foundation of a meal.
The donuts was instituted because it satisfies you, right?
So
then, why don't you say that once you eat a certain amount of shahakol, then you should say an almighty after?
Be satisfied with
them. But that's not true.
No, it's the mezonos is only on mezonos foods, though. Hamotzi is fundamentally different. Hamotzi is a bracha on a su'uda. Mezonos is a bracha on chamish samina menores, the dochen, right? That's it. Now, what exactly defines pasa babikisin? Oh, sorry.
If I'm eating like a big mezonos roll, is that going to be like if I'm like,
Good. So let's talk all about this. Let's talk all about mezonos rolls and what the. But let's do it in the context of figuring out just the three shitos and rishonim. In fact, I'll even leave this very halachah lemaisa book open in front of me to make sure that I do this. You know, there's basically three shitos and rishonim about how we define pasa babikisne. Rashi over here on Daf Mem Aleph and Beis Dibra Maskel Pas writes that the definition of pasa babikisne, and the Rambam seems this way as well, is that the Rambam in the third parak of Brachas Halacha Tes, Rambam writes, let's read it in the Rambam, it's easier. Isa shalasha bidvash o b'shemen o b'chalav. The dough itself is different. You've kneaded the dough with sweeteners in the dough. O she'irav b'mine tavlin. You put spices, something in the dough that makes it tastier. Via nikris pasa babikisnin. That's pasa babikisnin. Av plishi pas m'brach le'bar m'nei mezonos. Even though it is bread, but the bracha is bari m'nei mezonos, that is pasa babikisnin, based on the lisha, that it's based on the way that it's needed. According to the Shulchan Aruch, how much sugar or other sweeteners have to be in it in order to turn it from hamotzi to mezonos, and this is critical, because a big difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim over here. According to the Shulchan Aruch, how much do you have to add in? If it's enough that you can taste that there are meperos or sugar or something like that, you could taste it in the dough. It may not be the majority, but you can tell that's not regular bread. That's bread that's been sweetened. If then already it's a bari m'nei mezonos, and that is the minug of b'nei Sfarad. Rav Shechter just mentioned to me a few weeks ago that when he invites his Sfaradic talmidim over for Shabbos meals, they bring their own chal. Because they will not say hamotzi on his challah. He says he finds it a little silly because they're being koveh suda anyway, so they should probably say hamotzi anyway, even if they do hold its mezonos. But okay, you know, but they bring their own challah, because if they were only eating that, then they would not recite hamotzi on it. The Rama says that no, it needs to be rov meperos, rov sugar, rov shemen, biyachas l'mayim, meaning in comparison to the water. So it's not enough that you're margish the tam. It has to be that it's the majority, that it really changes the entire taste entirely, to the point that it's the majority of the ingredients. Only then do you say barim nem zonos.
The dough or to the water?
What?
To the dough or to the water in the dough?
Meaning the water as comparison to meperos. It has to be more meperos than water. And that's the minhag of Bnei Ashkenaz in Kuf Samaches, Mishmarun, Sivkat Lam Gimel. Rov meperos. A person has to also be careful, because rov meperos means that the juice can't be from concentrate, meaning it has to be pure meperos. A lot of times people pour apple juice, but 80% of the apple juice is water. So that doesn't help, you know, if it's to make it rov meperos. So based on that, if you have a sweet challah, like most of our challahs are, an Ashkenazi person would say hamotzi, and a Sephardi person would not say hamotzi, would say a bari m'nei mezonos on a sweet challah. Mezonos rolls, might as well discuss it right now, because this is where it's nogeya. You know, if you'll notice, if you ever fly El Al and you order the super kosher meal, meal. So you order the badatz, the charedis, everything. They'll still tell you that the roll is mezonos. How dare they? Every rabbi I ever had told me that it's a farce. There's no such thing as a mezonos roll. That it's a fallacy. That it doesn't exist. What's the point of contention about a mezonos roll? So it turns out as follows. If it's let's just think about it. If it's made with a miut made peros, it's majority water and a miut made peros, a minority made peros. So now as an Ashkenazic Jew, Sfardim don't have to listen, but as an Ashkenazic Jew, you have to wash. It's Vaday Hamotzi. There's nothing to talk about. If it's a miut mei peros. If it's made with rove mei peros, the majority is mei peros, and you can taste the mei peros. It's a strong taste. And you're not koveh su'uda on it. Then the bracha is mezonos. In a chinami, if it tastes different than regular bread, and it's rov mei peros, and you're not koveh su'uda, of course it's mezonos. If you can't really taste the mei peros, it doesn't necessarily taste like a cake, it tastes more like bread, so it might be a suffik bracha. So if it's rov mei peros, but for some reason, in spite of the rov, I don't know what they did to the flour or something else to sort of counter the effect of the mei peros to the point that you don't really taste the difference so much, so that's a suffik. Now, many of the mezonos rolls with miut mei peros are made with miut mei peros and therefore should not be a mezonos at all, and many of the ones that are made with rov mei peros are done in a way that you cannot taste the difference, and that's the whole kunst. They're done in a way where it's just like a roll, and if it's done in a way where it's just like a roll and it tastes just like a roll, then you have a problem. Then l'chora, that should absolutely not be hamotzi.
What about the pretzel challahs that everyone has nowadays?
The pretzel challahs, what's wrong with that?
Does it have peros?
I think that's just a question of the way that it's not, that it's after it's baked, it's boiled maybe?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's what it is. That's what gives it the pretzel taste. Yeah, I think that would be hamotzi. There's a question about hot pretzels in general. Maybe we'll get to that also when we get there. Yeah.
Not.
I haven't tasted them.
Either way, you're usually being
put right, unless you're not a big eater and you're like, it's a plane. The only thing I could stomach is a roll, so then you're not really Kovei Asuda. Right? That's not called Kovei Asuda.
How are you supposed to know what it tastes like?
That's a great question. ask the guy next to you. I don't know.
So we're saying if you progress to the, even if it's the majority of non-dough items, you still make hamotzi?
If you right,
and COVID,
because Passover Bekistin, the Gemara says Kaveh Suda Hamotzi.
And so, but you said if you're not so hungry, meaning like, what if you're on a plane and it's like your dinner, you're not so hungry. But
still,
like,
no. If you're just suda, sometimes you're skipping a suda, you're just having a snack, you're not having a meal. Sometimes you skip a meal, we survive.
Would the din change when you're chai from a meal, like for instance, like if you're having a lot of alcohol and you're not so hungry, but you need to have it?
I don't think so. You have such a din by Trumas and Maestros that Shabbos is Kavas, the Maestro, or whatever. I don't think that. I don't think it's going to change in Uchas Brachos, the din of Suda.
By the strong taste, I mean, that's also subjective kind of note, because like if you are like, I don't know, if you taste like foods like more than others.
Yeah. It's hard exactly to measure. I agree, Avi.
The Ramos is still concerned with being able to taste it, or he says instead of tasting, it has to be rove.
It has to be rove, and it has to taste like. Well, and it's machlokas, whether machlokas are chronim, whether it has to also be margish taste. That's why it's a suffix if it's one and not the other. Oh, okay, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to Zavik Brachos. Hopefully, we'll get to Zavik Brachos.
Why does the Eid al-Khari just pass him? I always wondered this. Like,
I don't know. I don't have any friends within the Eid to ask. I don't know. I'm sure someone must know somebody.
For
Sephardim.
What?
For Sephardim, it's a little easier.
It has no time for fruit.
No, but Sephardim don't hold it needs a very strong time fruit. It just has to be a little sweeter than regular bread. I'm sure it's a little sweeter than regular bread.
Chassidim,
yeah, I think so. I'm not sure why. If they're wrong, then it's Lifnei Iver, right? But if they're not, if they're wrong, then it's Lifnei Iver. That is one definition of pasah b'kisnin. The second definition of pasah b'kisnin, Rabbeinu Yonah writes. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the name Rabbeinu Chananel. What is a kiss? Pasah b'kisnin. So a kiss, he says, is a pocket, meaning like a pouch. So it's not in the way the dough is kneaded. It doesn't happen at that early stage where you've changed the dough by kneading it with sweeteners. No, you made a regular bread dough. And then you stuffed some apples or something else to make and closed it over in a pouch, and you made like a bereka or something with something sweet on the inside. So what we would call, let's say, pie. You know, like a blueberry pie, an apple pie, something like that. That would be pasaba b'kisnin, even if the pie dough is not particularly sweet. Most of the time, when you have pie, the pie dough is very sweet already. It's already pasaba b'kisnin, right? But even if the pie dough is not particularly sweet, it's a regular dough. That too would be considered pasaba b'kisnin. So that is the second definition of pasaba b'kisnin. Third definition of pasaba b'kisnin is that of Rav Haigon. The Aruch quotes this from Rav Haigon, and that is, he says, pas that is baked for so long that it gets brittle, like it's baked into a cracker. So when you bake it to the point where it doesn't break like bread or cut like bread, but it's brittle, that becomes pasah b'kisnin. So there's discussion in post-Gemara, what about a flaky dough? So is a flaky dough considered pasah b'kisnin because it doesn't have that regular tzura of bread? It's flakes. It flakes. That's the right. Or is this only by a cracker of some sort? Now the cracker case is very interesting because. When it comes to matzah, what's the bracha one recites on matzah? Why do we recite hamotzi on matzah? L'chaora, we have a very strong case to recite mezonos on matzah. Isn't this exactly the third definition of pasah b'kisnin? So if you look in your Maror Makomos, there's a little bit of discussion in the poskim about that. I mean, there's a lot. I gave you a little bit of the discussion. Okay, let's say you're not kovei esud on it. Let's say you're not.
There are three criteria, that's just one of them.
We'll get to it. So, says Rav Vadia, he quotes Tshuvas Ol Yitzchak, Sheish Levarich Al HaMatzah L'Achar HaPesach HaMotzi Yibruch Samazon, and so says the Chukas HaPesach, and he quotes a number of others that say this way. Nevertheless, he says, the Minag has been nispashet to say, Borei Minei Mizonos, if you're not eating it on Pesach. If you're eating it on Pesach, then it's your Kersuda. But when you're not eating it on Pesach, say, Borei Minei Mizonos. And he says, because the logic for this is very strong, because it seems to fit one of the definitions of Pasaba B'kisnin. He writes, I'm looking for the place, that... Yeah, I didn't give you the whole tshuva over here. He quotes a whole list of poskim on either side of this issue. But what's the svara? What's the svara to say that it should be hamotzi? Yeah. So if you look in the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Avadia quotes his friend Rav Oldenburg, the Tzitz Eliezer, in Chelik Yeral of Simin Yates, says the Tzitz Eliezer, L'da'ati tzadak yididi agon Rav Neumark, whatever, shehirish bizmano ala ra kazos, neged min hagen shalalaf, and revavos mishol baritz, buchutz laritz, shnogim l'vari chamotzi, ulizamin al matzel shal kol ashana, ka'al kol pas plishum pikbuk, visafik bolum klalu klal. Ve'in shum svek sveka ba'olim, shematzel bein pesach, bein bekol ashana din pas gomor alei. Kivan shabilasa ava, so here's why. Why is it pas gomor? Plilasa ava, it's a regular dough. Va'omedes lafia betanur, it's meant to be baked in an oven like bread. Ula achila ula svia. And it's meant to be eaten like bread. Ve'in ze besug shel sufganin v'shel pasaba b'kisnin. Afilu lufia perish ze ko'achim yaveshim shaleim kivnu haravadi bartanun perisham shayas chala. He says, and this is not the third definition of pasaba b'kisnin. Einoch musam rakosumusam shem nefrarin me'aleim mashein ken matza. He says, pasaba b'kisnin means it's so flaky, it's so crummy that when you bite on it, the whole thing falls apart. By matzah, it doesn't work that way. By matzah, you take a bite out of it, you took a bite out of the matzah. So first of all, Matzias wise, I'm not sure if that, you know, really yesh v'yesh. And what would you say about crackers? You know, like regular crackers, are they really that different than matzah? Well, because there's a little bit of seasoning on them. I mean, it's not just pure flour and water. It's a very difficult case to make. But nevertheless, it seems to be that probably because we don't want people to get confused between Pesach and the rest of the year, it seems to be that the overwhelming minhag Yisrael, at least among Ashkenazim, among Sephardim, it's not the overwhelming minhag, but at least among Ashkenazim, the overwhelming minhag Yisrael seems to be to say Hamotzi Ar Matzi year-round, whereas among Sephardim, you'll find Yesh V'yesh. You'll find some that will say, what do you do? Mizonos, yeah. You'll find that there will be many that will say Mizonos on Matzos year round.
I was in the Sephardi school when I was like younger. I was in a Sephardi school. I went to like the Lakewood Matz Bakery, and I remember going inside and they're like making Mizonos. And like, I mean, Mizonos because I was in like the...
Right. Now, it could be that, you know, the Sephardic tradition until recent years has always been to have different kinds of matzos. Matzos that were thicker and softer. So if you have a thicker and softer matzo where it's not a cracker, then it's pashut, it's not passable to kisnin. So then you haven't created this tension. How can I make hamatzah? How can I make hamotzi on it on Pesach? And then the rest of the year it's going to change the bracha. That's a very unusual thing also. You don't find that anywhere else. That based on the date, based on the calendar, it's going to change my bracha. So it could be Sephardim never had to face that tension because they had thick matzos on Pesach, and therefore they said hamotzi on anything that was soft and thick, and they said on a cracker. They said mezonos year round and Pesach as well, maybe initially, and then but Ashkenazim had we've been using thin matzahs for a much longer time, so it became too much of a. This could be a historical thing. It could just be a way that that things developed over time. It's not that there's an isser for Ashkenazim to have soft matzahs, but it's just now it hasn't been the minhag for hundreds of years. So it could be because it hasn't been the minhag. Obviously, we were making amotzi on our matzah, so it felt weird to then make a different bracha the rest of the year.
How does
I think what he's trying to say is that what Rav Haigon is talking about is something that when you crack or you break into it, just falls apart on its own. The whole thing just falls apart. Whereas matzah, you break off a piece, the whole thing doesn't fall apart. Meaning flaky. It's very flaky. Whereas matzah is not flaky.
So maybe
something like croissant or something made with flaky dough, but a lot of the flaky dough is not so flaky either. And it's a shame on the dough.
I can't see the svar on matzah Pesach versus the rest of the year the same svar that the Gemara gives for Pasa Babu Kisan.
Kovei Asud.
And the assumption is that if you're going to have a kazayas or some people have two kazayasim of matzah on Pesach, it's for sure kviyas.
Oh, yeah. At the Seder, there's no doubt. At the Seder, there's no doubt.
The rest of the year, there's no...
Because by the Seder, Rav Shechter points out in Eretz HaTzvi that by the Seder, he points out in Machlokas Rambam in the Balei HaTosfos whether the... On the Seder night, this is just some stam great lambdas I'll share with you for a minute. On the Seder night, how many matzahs do you have? So machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim, the Balei HaTosfos say you have two matzahs. One of them is a shalem, and one of them is a prusa. One of them is broken. Why is one of them broken? Lechemon. And the Rambam says no. I'm sorry. That's the Rambam. The Rambam says two matzahs. One is a shalem, and one is a prusa. The Balei HaTosfos say no. You have three matzahs. Two complete matzahs. Because you need Lacha Mishnah, and one broken matzah. Furthermore, the Rush writes that a person is supposed to eat two kazesim on the night of the Seder. Mishnah Berurah says, what are you talking about? All the sugyas in the Gemara talk about Shamish Ha'achal Kazayas Matzah. No one ever invented two kazesim until the Rush and the Mordechai came along and decided two kazesim. Where in the world did they get two kazesim of matzah? Bir Lacha wonders. So Shach says such a beautiful undis. He said, there's definitely... two mitzvahs that one has to do on the night of the Seder. There's a mitzvah of Sudas Yantif, and there's a mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, Achilas Mar, you know, they're the mitzvahs Halayla that you have to do. The shita of the Balei HaTosfos is that the mitzvah of Sudas Yantif has nothing to do with the mitzvahs Halayla. Those are independent mitzvahs of each other. Right? Those mitzvahs are independent of each other. You have a mitzvah of Sudas Yantif. How do you do that? Have a Lecha Mishnah. Oh, but what about the mitzvah of matzah? Yeah, so in addition to Lecha Mishnah, you also need a prusa for matzah. You need a broken piece for matzah because lechemoni. But they're two separate mitzvahs. They're not one and the same. They don't define each other. They're two separate mitzvahs that happen to converge on the same night. Whereas according to the Shitas HaRambam, the definition of su'uda on the night of the Seder is the mitzvah salayla. The mitzvah salayla, what you must eat on the night of the Seder, the matzah, the maror, defines the mitzvah salayla. Shachtu explains, that's why you have a machlokas about maror. Why is it that you don't recite a bracha of Baruch Pri Adama on the maror? So some of the Rishonim say, because it's Dvar Mabah Machmas Suuda. Who doesn't have a little salad in their Suuda? Right? Dvar Mabah. And others say, no. Kiva Dekava Lechova? That's what makes it Dvar Mabah Machmas, because it's a chiyuv. The Balei Tosfos say the first way. It's Dvar Mabah Machmas Suuda. Hilchos Brachas, you don't say. And therefore it would turn out, let's say you're having horseradish, you're having the chrein, the white chrein. Would you call that Dvar Mabah Machmas Suuda that helps you eat? And there's a... No, no one on earth would call it that, right? So according to the Balei Tosfos, you would need a bracha, l'chora. Whereas according to the Rambam would say the other way. That's kavalei chova. Once it's a chiyuv, once it's a mitzvah, that makes it part of tonight's suda, because the suda is defined. The seder is defined by the mitzvah sachila of that night. It's a beautiful lum. This works out perfectly. It fits. He plugs it into Rikiv Eger also. Rikiv Eger, the very first Rikiv Eger in Tshuvas, has a very strange tshuva. Rav Shachter said, like, if I was writing a Shalat Tshuva Sefer, I would make my best tshuva the first one. You know, someone will open it up and they'll say, oh, this is a great Sefer. Rabbi Kiv Eger's first tshuva is, a guy writes to Rabbi Kiv Eger, I remember my grandfather was a big rabbi, and one of the women forgot to say Yalav Yavo during benching, and on Yantif, my grandfather said she has to repeat benching. So, but I don't understand, because women aren't chayv in Sudas Yantif, so why does she have to repeat benching? So Rabbi Kiv Eger said, because your grandfather was wrong. I mean, you know, like, what do you want me to tell you? Like I was all true about it. He said, unless you're remembering wrong and it was the night of the Seder. Unless you're remembering wrong and it was the night of the Seder. Why does the night of the Seder? Because a woman is chayv in Achilas Matzah. So if she's chayv in Achilas Matzah, she's going to have to repeat benching for Achilas Matzah, right? She's going to have to... Now, so you would say, okay, great, then the grandfather was right. So Shabbat just points out, Rav Soloveitchik explained, why is it that when you forget Yalav Yavo and benching on Yantif, or you forget Ritzei and benching on Shabbos, why is it that you have to repeat benching? What mitzvah haven't you accomplished? What mitzvah haven't you done? You know, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you repeat benching, but you don't repeat a mezumen. You don't do a zimun again. What mitzvah haven't you done? So you want to say, well, I haven't been yotzei benching, right? I skipped Yalav, I skipped, I haven't been yotzei benching. Then why don't you have to do a zimun? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, you have been yotzei benching. You know what mitzvah you haven't done? Sudas Yantif, Sudas Shabbos. The mitzvah of Sudas Yantif, Sudas Shabbos, requires that in your bracha achroni you declare it as such. You declare it as Sudas Shabbos, Sudas Yantif. The chiddush that you repeat benching when you forget Yalav Yavo is that you're allowed to say all these brachos levatala just so that you could turn it into a Sudas Shabbos, Sudas Yantif. I was ready yotzei benching. I'm repeating all these brachos. Yeah, just so I could turn it into a Sudas Shabbos, Sudas Yantif. That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. So said Rav Shachter, very, very sharp. He said, this whole word of Rabbi Kiv Eger, that a woman who forgets Yalav Yavo on the night of the Seder, she should repeat Yalav Yavo. Right? If she gets it, right? If she gets Yalav, why? Because she's chayiv in matzah. But wait. If you hold that the chayiv of matzah has absolutely nothing to do with the chayiv of Sudas Yantif, Sudas Yantif and matzah are two totally different chayivim, she has no need to repeat benching. The only reason you repeat benching is to declare it as a Sudas Yantif. She has no need to do that. She's part from Sudas Yantif. But if you hold that, no, the matzah defines the su'uda, like the Rambam, that it defines the su'uda on the Leil HaSeder, well then, Rabbi Kiv Eger's right. So Rabbi Kiv Eger's whole assumption, of Shachter points out, is like that Shita Sarambam, that it defines the su'uda. Why did I say this whole thing? It's not as a Geshmak Alamdus, but there must have been something there, right? That matzah could define the su'uda, right? When it comes to the Seder. Yeah, but if it's not the Seder, you're just munching on some matzah, like a cracker. So it's not necessarily an automatic via su'uda. Could we go a little late today? We haven't gotten to much yet. So let's go.
Until 5.
What? Yeah, we'll go straight till 5. Yeah, that's a great idea. It's a winning strategy to for recruiting for next year. For gaming. Okay, so these are the three different shitos of what pasa babakisin is. How do we paskin? So it's amazing. Such an unusual thing. Shulchan Aruch paskins, and Simon Kuf Samaches. It's also odd that Shulchan Aruch first paskins what the halacha is about pasa babakisin, and then tells you what pasa babakisin is. First he tells you the halacha, then he says, oh, by the way, you might be wondering what this strange thing, this strange word, pasav b'kisnin, what it means. So in Kuf Samachesiv Zayin, pasav b'kisnin, yesh mefarshim pasha asukimin kisim shemalim osam dvasho sukar vegozim shkedim v'tavlin. Some say, like Rabbeinu Yonah b'shem Rabbeinu Chanana, v'yesh om shi yisusher v'dvasho shem nochal avom minitav nafa. Some say, like the Rambam Rashi, provided that you could taste it. And then the Rama has what to say about how much you have to be able to taste it. V'yesh mefarshim shu pas bein mitubelas bein shein mitubelas shosim osam ka'avim yiveshim kosin osam ve'im anakram bishkunish. And some say that it's totally flaky, that it just crumbles and breaks apart when you bite into it. So which way? Okay, good. Yesh. This is the third, just like we had yesterday. Three shitos we had yesterday in Temin Halacha. Three shitos. Yesh omrim. So how do you paskin, right? Says Shulchan Aruch, v'halacha kedivrei kulam. Shelekal eilu adaram, nasam dinim, shemarim, pasav b'kisnin. All of the dinim we said about pasav b'kisnin will apply to all three of them. Highly unusual. We have machlokas over here. How do you pass like all three? According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, B'shem the Rach, Rambam's wrong, and Rav Haigon is wrong. According to Rav Haigon, yeah. What do you mean passing like all three? If you look in Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef is pretty clear. Beis Yosef writes, we pass like all three, misafek. We're not sure who's right. Safek brachos lahakel. So we're making misafek. Now that is somewhat troubling. Because the Bach points out, is saying the wrong bracha ikula? You know, what you're eating might be amotzi. Oh, we're going to be mekel and we'll let you say mizonas and alamichia. Good. So now you just said two brachas levatala if you're wrong. Why is that ikula? So some of the acharim say, no, because you would have said, If you were wrong in the other direction and you said amotzi and shalosh brachos, right, v'chsa mazon, you would have said more brachos levatala, because, you know, v'chsa mazon. But still, come on. Savik brachos lehakel? So the Aruch HaShulchan, another acronym, suggests that what you have to say is that mida oraisa, even on bread, you yotze with a mizonos and alamichya. That birchas hamazon is not going to be required midaraisa, so the rabbanon have the right to say savik brachas lahakel. You follow the din rabbanon savik brachas lahakel, and you could say a mizonos and an alamichya. Midaraisa. It's a good question because it's a major debate in the Achron. I mean, why not? You know, the formulations of all the brachos only came later. So to suggest that if you don't say the exact words that Chazal indicated with that number, but still, it's not so passion. There's the major chakira over here, and this is what I wanted to get to. This issue, is it mitoras safik or mitoras vadai that we pass in like all three? So again, Beis Yosef said it's mitoras safik we pass in like all three. The Bach questions that he thinks it's got to be mitoras vadai that we pass in like all three. What are they really arguing about? What they seem to really be arguing about is these definitions of pasav b'kisnin, are they a simin or a siba? What do I mean by that? Are they a simin or a siba? Is this the definition of pasav b'kisnin? Or are these examples of fake bread? Meaning, are these just examples of snack bread? If it's the definition of pasav b'kisnin, then probably the Rishonim are arguing on each other. And when you paskin that all three, you must be paskining misafik, because only one of them is truly the definition of pasav b'kisnin. But if it's a simin, you know, possible because it means snack bread. What is snack bread? Mara marchada. Each one is giving their own example of snack bread. But maybe they're all snack bread. then you could say that Petorah is Vada, we paskin like all three of them.
And even if you say that, they're still giving their own unique sim, and they're still dafka giving their sim and their
But you could argue that they're coming up with examples of what would be snack type bread, and it's just in b'makom Rav Haigon, it wasn't popular to put apples inside of a dough and close it like it was in the Rabbeinu Chanan or Rabbeinu Yonah. You know, so they didn't think of that example.
Their descriptions are totally lafdafka.
Yeah, meaning what is possible because it's a snack bread. How do you define snack bread? So whatever people have as a snack, lamashal, you know. Or it could be that they are arguing, but lahalach, we have the right to say that they're all right. Because pasva b'kisin is not a thing, it's snack bread, it's not a specific type. So lahalach, they could all be right. Now, the Beis Yosef clearly assumed that they're not all right, and it's only mitar safik. Only one of them is right, but mitar safik, we're making. L'maynaf kaminu, whether it's b'taras safek or b'taras vadai. So I just want to give you a few nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one. What if you have yourself a piece of apple pie and a piece of cake, a mezonos roll, a piece of kakush cake or something like that. You have both. You have two types of possible kistin. Or throw in a third type. You have all three types of possible kizayas. Kizayas of each. If it's b'toras vadai that these are possible b'kisnin, it's still a mezonos. Because all of them are possible b'kisnin. But if it's only b'toras suffik that it was a mezonos, if you had a kizayas of each of them, somebody's right! And if somebody's right, then the other ones are not possible b'kisnin. So by definition, if you had even just two of them, by definition, you've had bread. You just don't know which one is bread, but you've had bread. So if that's the case, you should have to wash the bench. And so Rav Sacks says it that if you have all three, I don't know why he has to say that. Two. If you have two, l'chora, that would be enough kamina.
According to Rav Shachter saying that Tosos,
your brach is only in the first, yeah.
Then
right, it'll be tough to figure out which ones you eat first.
Eat a piece of them all together.
Yeah, sandwich it, I don't know. Yeah.
Which tzadis is Vada, which tzadis
is Simen or Sibir, you're saying?
Kakira, yeah.
So I thought that if you say that it's a Simen, then you're saying Bitaras Vada. It's just a Simen of what's called a snack food. So we could say Bitaras Vada, all three of those definitions are a snack food. But if it's Siba, you're saying this is the definition of possible b'kisnin. Pocket. It means a pocket. Well, then if it's not a pocket, it's not possible b'kisnin. So it must be that we're passing b'tara suffix that they're all possible b'kisnin.
These are the case in Ksuros. I don't remember exactly where. It's one of the lamas or the nuns. Where it's like talking about where like...
But not the mems.
Okay. Where some... No, maybe it's mems. I don't know. Anyways, so, there's like people come into the where the like the Medina, and there's only like one place to hide, and we know that there's like a lot of women. So like, how do we know like, where, and there's only room for one person to be
right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Uh huh.
So, and then at the end we say that they're all, we assume that they're all tar.
Right.
Even though it's impossible that they were all in there.
Yeah, that's not in the machlokas in halacha. That's in dealing with it. You have similar things in Yaradeya when it comes to. Batel Barov, you have three hamburgers. One of them was from Wendy's and two of them are from Shlemy's Burgers or whatever, right? Assuming Shlemy keeps a kosher place, right? So Batel Barov. So Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say you're allowed to eat all three. You just can't pile them up triple decker, right? Yeah, but you could eat all three. There's even a sheet of Rishonim that you could triple decker them. What?
Then what's the problem?
Because this is a different type of machlokas. That's about metzias. This is in halacha. Yeah. Another nafkamina might be. You know, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that talks about. Yeah. Afilu davar in Sif Yud Gimel in Kuf Samaches. Afilu davar shabil laso ava in bishla otigna. Ein varach la motzi. If you cook or fry a dough, you don't say a motzi. I mean, what do they have? What do they call those in Shula's Pizza? They say, anyone from the five?
Zeppelis,
right. So that's it's a regular dough and they just fry them and put a lot of sugar on top of it afterwards. And it's delicious, very healthy. So you don't say a motzi, even though it has tzuras hapas. No, if it was a thick dough, I don't care what you did with it afterwards. You say a motzi, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'yirei shamayim." What does yirei shamayim do? Make sure that you have it betoch a su'uda, right? Have it in the middle of a su'uda. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. That's what a yirei shamayim is supposed to do. Dafka have it within a su'uda. Now, the Magen Avraham wonders why it is when it comes to the different definitions of pasuk baba kisnin, the Shulchan Aruch didn't recommend the same thing. Same author, right? He has another machlokas whether something's a mezonos or a motzi, and he says yirei shamayim should do this way. Should make sure he's having it in a su'uda. Why did he say the same thing about Pasuk Baba Kisnin? You could argue that if Pasuk Baba Kisnin, they're all Pasuk Baba Kisnin b'taras vadai, not b'taras safik, they're all Pasuk Baba Kisnin b'taras vadai, you don't need to have a b'tocha suda. You know that it's mezonos. It's not a safik whether it's mezonos. But if it were b'taras safik, then maybe, yeah, there's makom lahachmir to only have it in the middle of a suda. Problem is, it doesn't work out. Because the Shulchan Aruch is the same author, obviously, as Beit Yosef. And the Beit Yosef is the one who says that it's Petoras Safek. So, Lishita, so he should have said that Yirei Shemayim should be Machmir. But Luchora, that should have been enough Kamina, right? Whether it's Petoras Vadeh or Petoras Safek. Is there Makom for Yirei Shemayim? Is it suggested that Yirei Shemayim should be Machmir?
Is that his dependent donuts?
No, it would be the same. Luchora. Another nafkamina might be, and this might actually relate to the first one. What if you're having it during a su'uda as a dessert? The Magen Avraham quotes a rush. The rush is in Siman Lamed over here, that if you're having Pasuk Baba Kisnin during a su'uda as a dessert, you say a bracha on the Pasuk Baba Kisnin, even though you washed at the beginning of the meal. Right? Like we said yesterday, Shechter, you know, said the mezonos on the cake that he had at the end of the pie that he had at the end of the meal. That you would say that's the sheet of the Magen Avraham, the sheet of the Rush. L'chora, let's think about this for a second. If Pasuk Baba Kisnin were really, let's say it were bread, it weren't considered mezonos. Let's say it were hamotzi. Would you say a separate bracha in the middle of the meal? You wash at the beginning of the meal, you have an extra piece of challah in the middle. You say a separate bracha? No, of course not. Even if it's dessert time that you're having the challah. It doesn't matter if it's dessert time. You don't say a bracha. But if you have a piece of cake, according to the Magen Avraham, what do? Say a bracha at the end of the meal, right? If you hold that Pasuk Baba Kisnin is only that the three definitions are only b'toras safek that we assume is Pasuk, so safek brachos lahakel. Normally, safek brachos lahakel means I'm going to call this Pasuk Baba Kisnin. But in this case, safek brachos lahakel would actually mean I'm going to call it pas. I'm going to call it lechem. Because if it's Pasuk Baba Kisnin, I'm going to have to say bracha at the end of the meal as a dessert food. If it's not possible, because I won't have to say a bracha. If it's lechem, I won't have to say a bracha. So if it's b'tara safek, that we define all these things as possible b'kisnin, then there should be no bracha on possible b'kisnin at the end of the meal. But if it's b'tara vadai, then there should, yes, be a bracha on possible b'kisnin at the end of the meal. So it happens to be Magen Avraham seems to be saying that it's b'tara vadai. The Rashba happens to hold that you never say bracha on Pasuk Baba Kisnin at the end of a meal, even if it says a dessert at the end of a meal. You don't say against the Rosh. You don't say bracha on Pasuk Baba Kisnin, in which case, you know, the nafkamina falls away. But the Magen Avraham quotes this Rosh, holds like this Rosh. Zat L'chora is a third nafkamina. So we gave three nafkaminas, whether it's b'toras safek or b'toras vadai. We pointed out that b'toras safek, b'toras vadai, that chakira is probably simen siba chakira. And the three nafkaminas are, again, are if we eat more than a gazayis of more than one kind of Pasuk Baba Kisnin. should you be machmir if you're a yirei shemayim to wash before you eat pasuk b'kisnin? And should you say a bracha if you're having it as a dessert at the end of the meal? Now, the last two don't really work together. Because if you're having it as a dessert at the end of the meal, then there's no... If you hold it, you have to say a bracha and pass it over kissing to have it, when you have it as a dessert at the end of the meal. Washing may not help. Why would washing not help? Meaning the second half of the meal is, should you wash as a yirei shemayim? Wash! So that... Because even if you wash, what is why does yirei shemayim wash on things? So that you won't have to say a bracha. But if you hold like the Magen Avraham in the B'Shem the Rush, you're going to have to say bracha anyway. Even if you wash. But that's only if you're having it as dessert. That's not if you're having it in the middle of the meal. So it could be that Nafkamina's 2 and 3 sort of conflict a little bit.
For the Rush and the third Nafkamina, did you say that if you have bread during the meal, meaning the reason why you would make a new bracha on Mizonos in the middle of the meal is because it's like a different, it's separate from the meal because it's dessert.
Right.
So if it just happens to be hamotzi, why does that change the nature of it, and therefore why does that change and connect it to the meal that you wouldn't need to make a new bracha? Meaning, even if it's hamotzi, if it's a dessert, that's hamotzi, then you should have to wash again.
Even if it's hamotzi, no, but it's not a dessert because it's.
If it was,
you can't take bread and turn it into a dessert.
A second ago, when it was mizonos, it was a dessert, and now that we're saying it's. It's hamotzi, then it's no longer.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, because that machlok is it bread or is it not? Right? Is it lechem or is it pasuk b'kisnin? So once you decide what it is.
Why can't you have bread that's dessert?
Because that's the meal. That's not dessert. No, bread is the meal. Bread is always the meal. I just want to just mention pizza before we conclude over here. There is a machlokas haposkim, machlokas menosi kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, Taz and Magen Avram, whether. You know, the kistin, we said, like a pocket, and the chara doesn't have to be a pocket, even if you have, a dough with a, with blueberries all over it, let's say, or something. That would also, the chara, be, as long as it's one food. It doesn't have to be, that could be surrounded entirely, even though kistin comes milashim kiss. It's just normally they would put it in a pocket so that it doesn't, spread all over the place. It will be pizza is a dough with other stuff sitting on it, but those other stuff are sauce and cheese, not sweet fruits. So there's machlokas in the Nosekelim and Shulchan Aruch whether if you have a kiss that's full of meat or cheese, whether that's considered pasuk b'kisnin or not. Right? Do we consider that to be pasuk b'kisnin? So on the one hand, if you say that it's not pasuk b'kisnin, so game over with pizza. There's nothing to talk about. Right, it's automatically hamotzi. It's only al atzad that you would say that even cheese can define something as pasuk b'kisnin, that you have what to talk about with pizza, whether and then you get into the discussion of my kaveh asuda on it. Unless the pizza is made with fruit juice, unless the dough is made with raw fruit juice to the point that, which in, I believe the style in America is they don't make it that way, the style in Israel is they do make it that way, I think. So that's where the whole issue. So if the dough is made with mostly water, so then it's definitely hamotzi, l'chora. There should be very little to discuss. Certainly if you hold that cheese does not turn it into pasuk b'kisnin, and even if you hold cheese does turn it into pasuk b'kisnin, but people typically are koveh su'uda on it. This is in Kuf Samaches, the Taz in Sifkat and Yud Zayin. Machlokes Magen Avraham and the Taz over there. Magen Avraham Sifkat and Mem Dalet says that if it's full with dagim, gevin, or yirakos, or anything that people eat, lesova, velo lekinuach, anything that people eat normally as part of a meal, it's going to be amotzi anyway. Whereas the Taz says that no, it's going to be mizonos. But it's only in case where you have pizza that's made with fruit juice that we have what to discuss, because then it may not be with rove fruit juice, that it may not be a meal. It's unclear why Rav Moshe held that. It is on good authority. I mean, I don't think people deny that he held this way, that one slice of pizza is mizonos, but it's not abundantly clear why he held that way. It would have to be that he held, like the Taz, that it's still called pasuk b'kisnin, and he thought it was only a snack food. It could be that the matzias changed, and it used to be eaten as a snack food, and now it's eaten as a meal. What Jewish home doesn't have Thursday night pizza night? Because mommy can cook for Shabbos, right? So that's Oh, maybe only one. That, so the like so of course it's a meal. You know, it's you go out with your friends, you go out to pizza for a meal. So it's unclear why he held that way. Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, Rav Yashir, Rav Shlomo Zalman, you know, whichever world you come from, they all say Hamotzi. I don't know why you would say otherwise. Okay, we'll stop there. We cover almost everything we said. Almost everything.